on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We spotted the ocean at the head of the trail. Where are we going? So far away. Somebody told me.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Is it false that I'm a socialist, Mr. Snow?
You can choose to be whatever you like.
No, what you have deemed me. You have said from that diet.
I believe from that the way you can choose to be whatever you want to be in this country. Okay.
Yes, but you deem me or you label me something that I'm not.
I label different things.
Y'all yeah, label I got me a few labels. Time. I got a few labels for you.
I already know.
I want to say this. We are off track, and I apologize, Mayor.
I think we're getting off track. Do you think? All right, so that was Pam Mitchell, the founding member and leader of the Pitchfork Posse, versus Jeff Snow, city councilman, over the question of whether restricting or monitoring or pre-approving or coordinating or centralizing communications from Milton City Council members and staff somehow through the mayor's office wouldn't make for a better media relations policy. That was the kind of thing they were talking about. The voice right at the end that says, yeah, we're getting off track, that was Mayor Heather Lindsay. She'd know. So, in case you didn't catch the setup to all of this, Mayor Lindsay is basically unhappy that there isn't clearer communications from everybody in Milton with people like me and Ken Garner from Navarre Press and Tom McLaughlin from Northwest Florida Daily News /PNJ. You know, that somehow or other, anybody can just talk to these press people. Dang it. I don't like this.
All right. Moving to the next item. I had asked for folks to be reflecting on a potential policy for comments to the press. We've seen how that has created difficulties. I've also noticed articles that have come out where I didn't realize, you know, that was ever going to be published. The information that was quoted in the paper in an article I saw in August, I had never been told. And, you know, I still have questions about it. So I think it'd be helpful if we continue to think about a policy that would be helpful for all of us and for staff to guide how Milton is reflected in the press.
So we need a policy for staff, which is certainly allowable for media relations for staff, but a policy for city council, like to tell them how to talk to the, you know, like me. And she says, this is how we make ourselves look the best that we can possibly make it.
So, I mean, we've seen how that has been upsetting to us at different points over the last several months in particular. So it makes sense to have a policy that will guide staff and guide us, I think, too, so that we're focused on what reflects well on Milton, what helps us look the best that we can be.
So this is, again, for staff and for elected officials on the city council. Now, she had brought this up a couple of years ago, and then as now, Jeff Snow and others, I have to assume, though they didn't say so out loud, thought, yeah, no, there's that, God, what is the name of that piece of paper, that thing that the country is built on that... It's got numbers and stuff, and it tells us the rules for government. What is the name of that thing?
Mayor?
Yes, sir?
You brought this up a couple of years ago, trying to restrict our First Amendment right on this council. And again, I will still not support any restriction of my First Amendment right. I can speak to who I want, when I want. Thank you.
I'm sorry you see it that way.
He is not the only one who saw it that way. That's exactly what I heard her saying, is I want to coordinate communications through my office so that we can make sure that we get our story straight and know none of the unfortunate facts that I'd prefer to not get in the public, get out in the public. Because let me tell you this, okay? If Mayor Heather Lindsay was coordinating and controlling communications for the city of Milton, and nobody else was talking to me, okay? There's like 90% of the things that I know I wouldn't know. because her version of reality is not the version that I'm familiar with. And this comes up repeatedly. I mean, it's you know, not just in the meetings, but in the records requests and in conversations with people. I'm like, oh, well, that is very different. And that makes a lot more sense. So you have this kind of back and forth with the mayor and Jeff Snow. And sort of in the end, you know, she basically decides to abandon it, okay?
And I recognize that council is not going to accept a policy that would limit them, and that really wasn't my intention at all, but I see how it's been construed. So it's probably just a topic that needs to go away at this point.
It's not being construed. It's the I mean, does she really think? They're really like, yeah, no, we do need a policy. We all trust you, Mayor. You run it. You're like, what did she think was going to happen in this meeting? The majority of council was going to vote to gag themselves through communications with her office, or at least inform. And I get the frustration. You know, it would always be more convenient for the, you know, for everybody in the organization to know what the organization is saying before it gets said outside. I know it's annoying to read stuff in the paper or hear it on the radio that you didn't know was going to get said. That's the purpose of the First Amendment. That is not just freedom of speech, freedom of the press, because we ask. Even Ken Garner from Navarre Press got up there and kind of had to sort of explain this to her a little bit. I'll play that in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Okay, and watching an accident this morning happened about an hour before the show started, and it's near the Florida-Alabama line, kind of, where 90 splits into Mobile Highway and 9 Mile Road. It looks like part of 9 Mile is closed. It's before the Beulah Interchange. Certainly use caution there wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to Mayor Heather.
I love drama when I'm not involved. Go on. Yes.
Ken Garner from the Var Press, who was one of the key people in a lot of the, you know, interactions with former city clerk Don Molinaro, and, you know, had written articles about all of the drama that was going on around the hiring, not hiring of Scott Collins and who was responsible and all this. And one of the key background facts you have to understand is that Ken, I guess, had asked for an interview, and Don had sent him the TikTok timeline of things from her perspective. I had asked for public records, emails, and phone logs, and she sent me that, which at the time I did not realize, but it really was completely unresponsive to my request. I actually thought, oh, this is helpful. And then later I'm like, well, that's not what I asked for. That's just, she created that. So that was weird. But here's what Ken Garner said.
I appreciate what you're trying to accomplish. I think that you have a difficult, I think it's very difficult to accomplish what you're asking. Most journalists understand that employees of elected officials are subject to policies restricting them from what they can say to the press. It's not a violation of their First Amendment rights as much as it is a condition of their employment. I'm sure that the lawyers in the room could explain that better than I can.
Yeah, that's true. But again, it's very common for governmental organizations to allow their director levels to speak because they're informed enough that they should be able to speak to the press without, you know, prior vetting or without being shepherded. And that's pretty normal across the board. And you always worry about any organization that restricts communications and says the directors can't talk to the press directly. And sometimes what they just want is to be, you know, a heads up. Okay. Sometimes they don't care. But if the city of Milton is going to start, like, under the mayor's, because she's not a strong mayor, she is basically an honorary mayor of sorts, a functionary. She doesn't really, her only real job is to run the meetings, a couple of them, and then to break ties in the voting. She doesn't even get a vote most of the time. And so it's odd for her to take the position that somehow she ought to be overseeing or at least, you know, copied in on all of these communications, anything that goes out to the press. It's just odd, especially because it's involving city council, who have a direct obligation. But anyways, for city employees, it's very common for non-director levels to not, you know, to not talk to the press. And certainly if they say things that are false or make allegations or cause the city problems, then they can be terminated for that. But that's entirely different from elected officials like city council.
It's a little bit different when you're dealing with elected officials because they need to be able to express their opinions to the public.
That's right.
And if we're responsible, we do our very best to understand honestly what that official is expressing to us, and we try to reflect it that way. It doesn't always come out that way, but that's what we're tasked to do.
Especially when what you've got is deep disagreements over what's being done when there really are, you know, weird kinds of plots and machinations going on, or at least seems to be deep distrust, and you have factions within the government, within the staff, against the mayor, and somehow now she wants to institute a policy to kind of control communications. It's weird. It's an overreach, and, you know, you'd have to always wonder about the kind of folks that want to control information this way. It's an odd one. 437-1620, 437-1620. There was other drama. There was other drama as well later on. I want to give her some credit. She apologized because earlier in the meeting, you know, she had kind of lost her cool with Jeff Snow. But her apology was based on blaming Randy Jorgensen, who was not even present in the room, for lying. Like, no, seriously, here, I'll play the one clip. Because she apologizes, which is good. I'm sorry I lost my cool earlier. Here, I'll play that part.
I would just like to say briefly that I regret that I did not maintain my composure earlier in this meeting. It has been a struggle for me to come to terms with what I have learned over the last several months in reviewing the things that have been shared. I know I've been lied to and lied about, and it's happened repeatedly. And I'm not able to, reconcile that.
So I'm sorry for responding to the lies about me. Or there's been some misinformation put out by you too. And that's very concerning. And, you know, your efforts to say that other people are lying when I've looked at the facts as best I can, and I don't think they're the ones who are in error about this stuff. I mean, Randy Jorgensen is gone. He's not in the room anymore.
I know from Mr. Spears' complaint that Mr. Jorgensen lied to him about me and things that I said, because I didn't say the things that Mr. Spears believes I said. And the only way Mr. Spears would have those beliefs is because Mr. Jorgensen lied to him, because I wasn't in the room with Mr. Spears, so he would have not known. So it's very.
So now she's calling Randy a liar when he's absent from the room, and she's using that to explain why she lost her cool earlier. I mean, it's just, what can you say but... And see. 622 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll talk about Jackson's cooking class, Atlas beverage class, Thanksgiving, holiday hours, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tea time's at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Fox News Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I do intend to fight. file a motion to vacate against Speaker McCarthy this week. I think we need to rip off the Band-Aid. I think we need to move on with new leadership that can be trustworthy. Look, the one thing everybody has in common is that nobody trusts Kevin McCarthy. He lied to Biden. He lied to House conservatives. He had appropriators marking to a different number altogether. And the reason we were backed up against the shutdown politics is not a bug of the system, it's a feature. Kevin McCarthy's goal was to make multiple contradictory promises, to delay everything, back us up against shutdown politics, and at the end of the day, blow past the spending guardrails.
So, as you have heard many times, I'm sure if you're watching the news, listening to the news, is there is a war right now between the conservative, hardliners, ultra-conservative, whatever you want to call them, Matt Gaetz and his group of 5 to 10, versus the bulk of the Republican Party that's terrified to go against in the House, that's terrified to go against Kevin McCarthy. And look, they put him in as Speaker in January with extraordinary reluctance from Matt and his group. And he says, look, they have broken their word. They have not done what they said. We don't have clean spending bills. We don't have separated departmental voting on budgets like we should have. So transportation and energy and education and transportation can all be separate votes, which would make great sense. I would love to see that. And he says it's time for the Speaker to go. He's broken his word. He hasn't fulfilled his promises. We can no longer continue to support him after what happened over the weekend. So he's going to file a motion to vacate this week, and it's going to be utter chaos in the House of Representatives again. Days of our DC may be a stager in the near future. 626 on News Radio 92.3. The question for you today, though, we're doing a text poll, 437-1620. Do you support Matt Gaetz or not? Do you support Matt Gaetz or not and what he's trying to accomplish? Do you understand what he's trying to accomplish? Do you think it's a good thing or do you think it's futile and stupid? If you support him, text Gaetz, G-A-E-T-Z. You do have to spell it correctly. G-A-E-T-Z, yes, like a space, yes, or Gaetz, no. And your vote will be tallied, and we'll tell you the support so far has been almost unanimous in favor of what he is doing. But 437-1620 Gaetz, and then yes or no. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Okay, and not showing a lot this morning. There's one accident that happened before the show started at 9 Mile and Mobile Highway where that split happens, and 9 Mile was closed for a good portion of the morning. Now, it looks like it is moving now. It looks like it may have been cleared. So caution there. It's certainly caution wherever you are. You still may see emergency crews on scene. If you have traffic tips, though, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Okay, I think you're laughing at the text.
At the text, yeah. Dude, I know. I'm so
Somebody
sorry.
Says, oh, let's see. I know Candy isn't, but I'm kind of tired of the Milton drama, but they're crying eyes, so I'm not sure which way they meant that. Somebody else says, Freedom Caucus lost me with their anti-Ukraine hatred. I think Freedom Caucus is holding regular GOP hostage with these issues. Oh, also on Mayor Lindsay, she must be grooming herself for higher political ambitions. Okay. Somebody here says, can I watch Days of Our Milton on Hulu?
With no ads.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, with the ad-free version. That's funny. 437-1620. Okay, you gotta spell Matt Gaetz's name right. G-A-E-T-Z. I get texts that are misspells, so the poll won't count those. So I'm telling you got to spell G-A-E-T-Z and then a yes. Somebody here says a lifelong Republican. I'm saying this is a lifelong Republican with the Freedom Caucus on Ukraine. Yeah, I actually, same. I think that Matt is, and a lot of the folks that are with him are dead wrong on Ukraine. But on this issue, I understand what he's trying to do. I don't know if it'll work. I don't know where the outcome is here. I don't know who they're going to get in as Speaker except for Kevin McCarthy. But, you know, he wouldn't be my choice either, for sure. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Jury selection in the fraud trial of FTX co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried is set to begin tomorrow in a federal court in Manhattan. He faces charges of wire fraud, securities fraud, money laundering. Prosecutors say he defrauded customers of his digital currency exchange, FTX. Student loan payments are back. Payments officially went back into effect on Sunday after a three-year pause. And Andrew, if you thought Taylor Swift was the only singer getting a full-length feature film movie, think again.
Who else?
A full-length film about Beyoncé's Renaissance tour now in the works. It's expected to hit theaters December 1st.
I thought what you were going to do is you were going to ask me if I was thinking that Taylor Swift was the only person getting full-time features on the NFL programming over the weekend, and then I would have to say, of course.
Oh, come on.
No, seriously. Did you watch the game?
I watched her.
She's here.
Taylor her friends.
In the house.
And his mom.
Thank you for having us into your house. Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth, Melissa Stark. Hi, Swifties. We'll be with you all night.
Swifties!
We'll be with you all
night. He's acknowledging us.
He's Well, finally. Pandering, acknowledging, whatever. Okay, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:29 here on News Radio 92.3.
You're not a Swiftie?
I'm neither here nor there. Some of her songs are fine. She's not
a hardworking young
she's
lady.
She's not my
I
favorite.
Like her.
I don't have a problem with her. Okay. I think that the hubbub is way overblown. That's what I think. I think the hubbub is too much. But I don't get her as a, oh my God, I gotta see it. And I have friends who are in that category. You know, they'd pay hundreds of dollars to go here, and then they pay another $100 to go there, and like,
I'm one of them friends.
Okay, I'm glad you've got the money to spend on it. You're an adult, spend it the way you like.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A new California senator is appointed by Governor Gavin Newsom to fill Senator Dianne Feinstein's seat. Fox's Marianne Rafferty.
He's appointing LaFonza Butler to the role. Butler currently heads Emily's List, an organization that works to get Democratic women elected. The announcement coming just hours after the Congressional Black Caucus sent a letter urging Newsom to appoint Representative Barbara Lee to the role.
Senator Feinstein died Thursday night. Congresswoman Lee had already announced she's running for the seat, and Governor Newsom had said he would not choose anyone already running, feeling that would be unfair. Florida House Republican Matt Gaetz says he'll call for a vote to remove Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker.
Yes, I'll survive. You know, this is personal with Matt.
McCarthy on CBS Face the Nation. Gaetz accuses him of lying to House conservatives about spending bill negotiations. Some other Republicans want to get rid of Gaetz, and he's under an ethics committee investigation. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is partly cloudy and 68 degrees here in Pensacola. Good morning. One person has died after a fatal shooting at the Pensacola Village Apartments. Happened on Sunday. Pensacola police say two people were shot. One died. The other was taken to the hospital with unknown injuries. The victims' identities have not yet been released. PPD does say one suspect was taken into custody, but police officers are still searching for other possible suspects as well. We'll update you as we learn more about this incident. Northwest Florida's Matt Gaetz says he wants new leadership in Congress.
I do intend to file a motion to vacate against Speaker McCarthy this week. I think we need to rip off the Band-Aid. I think we need to move on with new leadership that can be trustworthy. Look, the one thing everybody has in common is that nobody trusts Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, this all comes after McCarthy reportedly made a deal with House Democrats on Saturday to pass legislation to avoid a government shutdown. Gaetz voted against the bill. He would need a majority vote to remove McCarthy as the speaker. Gaetz says he does not plan to make any deals with Democrats to get the needed votes. A 32-year-old cantonment man has died after an accident on Highway 297A on Sunday morning. Florida Highway Patrol says the man was driving a Honda Civic. He hit a power pole near Coral Drive, died at the scene of that crash. The sheriff's office managed traffic. FPL repaired the pole and FHP investigated the crash. Well, charges have now been filed for that shooting that happened outside of a local bowling alley, DeLuna Lanes, just over a week ago. 19-year-old Nicholas Valia, now charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and other charges. The incident happened late last month. Investigators say Valia shot a 17-year-old multiple times after getting into an argument with a group of people. The victim reportedly recovering and doing well. Valia was booked into the Escambia County Jail and released on $46,000 bond. The U.S. Supreme Court now discussing an Alabama death row case. Judges are going to try to figure out if they'll take up Torifest Johnson's request to throw out a guilty conviction in the shooting death of a Jefferson County deputy. William Hardy was killed about two decades ago. Johnson continues to maintain his innocence. WBRC says that justice advocates were pushing for a new trial several years ago. Well, there's another crime now punishable by the death penalty here in Florida. That new law went into effect yesterday, and it makes the rape of a child under 12 a crime now eligible for the death penalty. Governor DeSantis says the law affects those who are the worst of the worst. Escambia County deputies have arrested a man after he allegedly threatened several people with a gun Sunday. That happened at a home on Dudley Drive. Deputies responded after an argument between two females became physical. A male then reportedly pointed a handgun at a group of four people and threatened them. The suspect reportedly fled the scene in a vehicle that was later located on Johnson Avenue. Deputies stopped that vehicle. They say they found the gun inside. Ladarius Blankenship was arrested, faces multiple charges. It is 6:35, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives.
As we take a look around, okay, Andrew, shut up. As we take a look around, Highway 85, Special Forces Way at Eglin Air Force Base, a vehicle crashed with injuries. We're showing a partial roadblock, too. It's southbound, is partially blocked again at 85, and I know that's kind of out of the listening area, but if you happen to be going that way, that's what's happening. The other accident, 9 Mile on Mobile Highway, looks like it has been cleared. Part of 9 Mile was partially closed this morning after a vehicle crash with injuries reported. If you have traffic tips, let us know. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Beautiful weather continues across the Gulf Coast and Northwest Florida. Highs in the mid to upper 80s, a few spots even into the lower 90s, and low temperatures will continue in the 60s each and every morning. Lots of sunshine, very little in terms of rain chances. If you want to head down to the beach, be mindful. Rip current risk is still high for Monday and Tuesday. It should calm later through the work week. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
And right now, 68 in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, and 64 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. The labor union for West Coast dock workers has filed for bankruptcy to fend off a judgment holding it liable for what a federal jury found to be illegal slowdowns and work stoppages at the Port of Portland. The International Longshore and Warehouse Union filed for Chapter 11 protection to halt litigation brought by a former terminal operator of the Port of Portland that threatened to deplete the labor union's cash reserves. The union is fresh off ratifying a new six-year contract for about 22,000 workers at 29 points from Washington State to California. Drone company Zipline can now operate commercial deliveries beyond the visual line of sight after receiving an exemption from the FAA. Zipline currently operates in Arkansas and Utah. Zipline plans to start operating commercial drone deliveries without visual observers this year. The company says its hubs can go from serving a few thousand homes to serving hundreds of thousands of homes each year. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a little changed open. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
For a limited time only, save 35% on New South Windows products and installation.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that was fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday at 10:30 as Emerald Coast Coins talks about how precious metals and metal detectors are a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2. and join Gracie wrap up your workday from 4 till 7. And then Dave Ramsey takes over.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Argo defense with some bodies out of the mix, Byron Perrier being amongst them, down a little bit of trouble on their heels a little bit. They'll throw middle of the field. They got the tight end. Richards is off to the races. He's in for the touchdown. I think the Argos only had 10 men on the field. They did. They got caught completely off guard. Elijah Williams is limping over near the Argos sideline, and North Greenville answers the Argos touchdown with one of their own. Jarrett, now long way to go. As the running back to his left, he's looking downfield, looking for his receiver. He's got a man. It's Giles. Giles makes the catch on the defender. Nope, ripped out of his arms, and it's going to be returned up the sideline for a potential touchdown into the end zone. Pick six, or is it a fumble? I'm not quite sure if you're going to call it an interception, but all of a sudden, North Greenville can cut this game to 3 points, and they've got all the momentum. And the Argos are in trouble.
You could tell that Will Kennedy was not just frustrated, he was almost despondent. Even though at that point UWF was still up 3-27-24, to have a touchdown and then a basically long pass play ripped out of John Giles' hands and returned for a touchdown in the space of about three plays, it was just stunning. I mean, he sounded like he wanted to walk off the set. Like, it was really, I could hear it in his voice. He was very frustrated. The good news is that that was followed up by...
Man comes in motion across the set. They'll pull it and throw it. Has a man in the middle. It's Giles. He catches it at the 30 to the 20, 10. He's going to make it to the end zone. Touchdown, John Giles. Argos come right back and answer. John Giles.
That made it 34-24. We had about 8 minutes later.
They're going to throw it. Jarrett's looking deep. He's got Giles. Giles has a touchdown. John Giles strikes again. Pee-wee Jarrett on the money.
51 yards on the first one, 44 yards on that one. We got an interception. Milholm actually got his second interception of the game. Jalen Busey got a 57-yard rushing touchdown. So they wound up walloping on North Greenville 48-24. But it was dicey in the late part of the third quarter, early part of the fourth quarter right there. So, that was definitely a time. Joining us now, we have the Director of Athletic Communications for the UWF Argos, Brian Henry. Brian, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, and it's a happy Monday morning, Andrew.
Happy Monday. Let's talk about the big news. Obviously, the win, but good Lord, John Giles, that man, as Will likes to refer to him, record-setting John Giles.
He is a man. I mean, you sit there and you're like, oh, hey, man, another great catch. Oh, he's running for 30 extra yards after the catch. I mean, I don't want to say, like, we're fortunate to be seeing greatness or whatever. I mean, like I said on the broadcast, we've had some great receivers in our history, but the next one up is probably the best we've ever had. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be at a Division II school, but he is a NFL level talent. I mean, just he can catch balls high, low, across the middle, deep. I mean, he's pretty much a multi-tool receiver. I mean, 277 yards is pretty amazing.
By the way, just to pause on that, that's 277 yards for a person. That's not the total passing offense for the team or the total offense for the team. That's one dude got 277 yards, right?
Yeah, I mean, Pee Wee threw for 419.
Oof.
You would think, hey, that's a great game. That's amazing. That's who we should nominate for all of our awards. But John caught 277 yards of those.
Unbelievable.
And made 85 yards after catch. I mean, so
that's the impressive part.
Going up and getting tackled. I mean, he is working hard for extra yardage every time, too.
And by the way, that, in case I didn't say it, that is the top receiving yards in a single game ever for UWF Argo, and fourth all-time for Gulf South Conference. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, like, that play where he got the ball ripped out of his hands, the way that play happened, that guy was almost falling down when he started to tackle him and grab the ball. If he falls down, John's going to get another 20 or 30 yards out of it.
Huh.
I mean, it's just unbelievable what he could have had.
Yeah, that would have been impressive. I mean, if he could have just had the completion and not have the right. I mean, that you're exactly right. That would have been amazing. So The offense is there. The defense did not have quite the same game as it has had in the past, although, you know, they did a lot of stopping. But we just penalties. What in the world is going on with the penalties? It's insane.
Yeah, you say, hey, it's early in the season, they'll get it cleaned up, but it's not getting a whole lot better, unfortunately. And I don't know if it's other teams are just smarter than us trying to bait us into penalties, because most of them are like unsportsmanlike conduct penalties and things that it is just a discipline thing. I can handle a holding call every now and then because sometimes the guy you're guarding does something that you're not ready for and you're kind of forced to have to hold and grab. But the unfortunate, like, that's a mental thing. That's a discipline thing that you should be taught all week long. And
yeah.
So, it's got to get better. We can't be giving up 150 yards of penalties to Delta State and Valdosta.
Right.
They those are great teams. They're gonna make you pay for it.
No, that I completely agree. You're exactly right. You're going to get called for, pass interference and holding every once in a while just because you're playing at the edge of, you're playing up to the limits of the rules, right? That's going to happen. No big deal. But like you said, the unsportsmanlike and the roughings and things like that, that's mental errors. That's mm-hmm. Breakdown of discipline. What do we got coming up? Shorter this week for homecoming, right?
Yeah, 4:00. It is homecoming. I know they're expecting a good crowd. There's the standard list of homecoming activities on campus. And so, it'll be a fun week. They've got the typical concert. They've got the homecoming court pageant, the Argo Rally concert, the cardboard boat race. It's all the fun stuff that they have at homecoming that when Dr. Benz brought football back and she was trying to increase the student life and the environment on campus. This is what everybody wanted 10, 13, 14 years ago when they made that commitment.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing
to welcome everybody back.
Plus you got soccer, you got volleyball, you got all kinds of activities you can and participate in and watch and of course support the Argos. As you say, a little bit earlier game than has been most recently, 4:00 game. And it might actually be a reasonable temperature this weekend too, so we're looking forward to that. Brian Henry is the UWF Argos Director of Athletic Communications. As always, Brian, thank you for the time. Thanks for the sideline reporting during the game and the interviews with Coach Nobles. We always appreciate that. And go Argos, sir.
Go Argos, Andrew.
6:47 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you have an import, you've got a BMW, a Porsche, a Mercedes. Oh, I need to go to traffic.
I could go to traffic. Yeah,
I forgot what time it was.
Okay. It doesn't. It looks like everything else is okay too. We're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. There is one accident, a little out of the listening area, but if you happen to be heading that way, 85 near Eglin, of course, Eglin Air Force Base, North Special Forces Way. It looks like 85 southbound is partially blocked after an accident. 437-1620. If you have a traffic tip, you can text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Now I can say.
Now you can
if
say.
If you have an import, like a BMW, a Porsche, Mercedes, a Genesis, a Jaguar, a Lexus, you don't have to take those cars to the dealership to get them serviced. You might think you do, but you don't. You can take them to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. And, it's funny. I always say Mobile because that's a place where a lot of the dealerships are. Could be Destin, too. Like they have, Porsche Destin, right? You can get your car worked on here. You don't have to go all the way over there. The point is you can get them worked on at Bobby Likas. They'll take care of you easy peasy. No drive, no extra charge, but they will do the, high quality service. That's what they do. You got your diesel engines. They work on those, your trucks, whatever. Runarounds, regular gas engines. That's fine too. American-made gas engine. Yes, they can work on those, right? No problem. Anything you need, they can take care of it. Like a car clinic for your, like a healthcare clinic for your car. That's kind of the website name, carclinicservice.com. So bring it to them healthy so you don't have to bring it to them broken. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
A-R-G-O-S! I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. We are gearing up for an exciting homecoming weekend, and we invite all community members, alumni, and fans to join us for the game on October 7th at Penn Air Field. Learn more about our homecoming events and football team by joining us on October 5th on the Pensacola Expert Panel. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
The I-10 Wired Summit returns October 18th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored in part by Data Revolution, the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference is your opportunity to get connected on the Gulf Coast. This year includes the AFSIA TechNet CyberCoast track, a $100,000 prize pitch competition, and a concert by the Molly Ringwalds at Casino Beach Bar. Special pricing is available for college students and government employees. Go to i10wired.com for tickets and event information.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
Ella le gusta la gasolina.
I end up working in a gas station.
I can't drive 55.
National average for a gallon of gas, 381. Florida average is 348. Continues to drop ever so slightly, but as long as it's still above 3, I don't care. It's too high. 322 in Mississippi is your best in the land. 605 in California. 605 a gallon in California. 320 east at the Walmart in Navarre. 319 west of the other Walmart in Navarre. If you get over through Tiger Point, 316th and Murphy at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. 339 in proper. It's a lot more to buy it in the city. Always is. 324 at the Raceway in Milton. Same at the Pea Ridge Murphy. 329 going through Pace. 9 Mile, the Walmart is 309. 309 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. Coming in from the southwest side. Best price, 318 at the Murphy on Navy. 651 here on News Radio 92.3. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with... Sorry, David, I head faked you there a little bit. The polling results on whether you support Matt Gaetz or not and what he's trying to do in Congress and, you know, get rid of Speaker McCarthy and get in some changes in the way policy is done, especially budgetary policy. The app is a little hard to read because if you put in anything other than just yes or no, it categorizes it separately. So I have to do a little bit of math here. But looks like I got six. I've got about 80% support, about 20% oppose. 80% support, about 20% oppose, which is about what I expected it to be, somewhere in that like 4-1, 3-1 vicinity. But keep texting in the question, do you support Matt Gaetz in Congress and what he's trying to accomplish? And just text his name, G-A-E-T-Z, and then yes or no. That's all you need to put, yes or no. No hyphens. do put a space, but you know, no hyphens or anything like that. And be sure to spell Gaetz right, otherwise it won't count. 6:52, David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, we start out with sad news out of Brazil. More than 100 dolphins apparently have been found dead in the Amazon. That this is caused apparently by a historic drought that pushed the temperature of lakes up above 100 degrees Fahrenheit. The dolphins all were found in the last 7 days in northwest Brazil. And a research institute there says that it's very unusual for this to happen. California Governor Gavin Newsom has appointed Emily's List President LaFonza Butler to the seat of late Senator Dianne Feinstein. According to Politico, the appointment is going to happen today. Student loan payments are back now. Payments officially went back into effect on Sunday after a more than 3-year pause because of the COVID pandemic.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Yeah, the woman who's gotten appointed to the Senate to fill the seat that was vacated by Dianne Feinstein because she passed away. And it's funny, you see these things over the weekend. People are like, oh, it's going to be Oprah Winfrey. No, it's not going to be Oprah Winfrey. Oh, it's going to be Meghan Markle. Would you, shh. Would you just, what is wrong with you? Really? Stop it. Shh. That's just, it's exasperating. It's not going to be Meghan Markle. Okay, and you know, so finally
it's
you get
be Taylor Swift.
No, I don't. Does she even live in California? I don't know where she resides.
In my heart,
she resides in Swiftyville. So, the metropolis of Swiftville. Anyway, so this woman who is the first, let's see, she's the third Black woman who's going to serve in the Senate. Kamala Harris, and for the life of me, I was trying to think of who the first one was, and I couldn't. I'm sure somebody will tell me, like, oh yeah, of course. But first Black female and acronym, She's the first acronym, LGBTQ, whatever acronym string is these days. Also, I have heard rumored, also first with a mole on her right forearm, the first who likes to raise her left eyebrow repeatedly in answer to questions, first person who likes to build with Lego bricks and collect baseball cards. So, the first of all of that all together in one place. So I'm really celebrating today all of the check marks of the important demographic boxes. Don't give me that look, Candy. Well, I mean, but which demographic boxes are the key ones to mention? I mean, she likes the Cubs. She doesn't like the Cubs. I mean, first black, female, LGBT Cubs fan. Why do we limit ourselves in which categories count for making somebody special when you put them in the Senate? I just don't know the rules anymore. 655 on News Radio 92.3, Candy's... She's gently averting her eyes.
Hey, that's my face. As we take a look at our roads, good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. There's an accident, and again, a little out of the listening area, but if you happen to be heading that way, and I know a lot of folks do work at Eglin, it looks like 85 southbound is partially blocked. If you see an accident or a slowdown, let us know. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Under 5'10", born west of the Mississippi. I mean, the key categories that matter so much for a senator, because, we want to make sure that we get everybody represented.
Run for Senate.
I could run for Senate. No, thanks. I'm unelectable to any office probably ever. Certainly to statewide office. It can't be me. There's way too much evidence against me. It's all out in the open on our podcast. 437-1620. This is one of those, of course it is stories, but you remember I don't know if you remember this, there was a guy who runs a company that has been, very supportive of President Trump, no surprise there, okay? But Ultra Right, the beer brand, you remember? They launched beer when the Bud Light boycott was going on.
I didn't know that.
Ultra Right, anti-Bud Light, anti-acronym, pro-Trump, apparently.
Did you try it?
No. They...
I'm just asking.
I buy beer based on taste. I don't really care about all this stuff. I think products should be chosen because they're good products. Anyway, he came out with a limited edition Conservative Dad's Revenge beer, 100% American beer, with the mugshot of President Trump on the can. So the mugshot of Trump is on the can. It's a black can. It's very professional looking. It's like the most professional looking beer can I've ever seen. He says they didn't do too bad. In the first 12 hours after it released, they made $500,000. It's only being sold through yesterday, I'm sorry to say. It went off yesterday. And he said that they were expected to top $2 million in sales when it officially went off the market yesterday. So now the limited edition Conservative Dad's Revenge 100% American Beer Trump Mugshot Black Beer Can is a collectible. As a collectible, apparently. What I wonder, and they're donating money to, Legal Defense, the Georgia Republican Party, and the David Schaefer Legal Defense Fund. Anyway, they're donating the money to that. I just think, is it a collectible with the beer inside? Or can you drink the beer? Would you drink the beer? Or would you keep it intact? It seems like people would probably keep it intact. So it's going to be like cans of Brondo that got promotionally sent out for Idiocracy years ago.
Or Billy Beer.
Yeah. Kept as keepsakes, right. And now, you're not going to drink Brondo. Would you drink Brondo? I would not. Anyway, 6:58 on News Radio 92.3.
I don't know who needs to know this, but Cracker Barrel serves liquor now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
For how long?
I don't know, man. They have Bloody Marys and mimosas. I was like, what?
Right? That's different. I haven't been to a Cracker Barrel in years. Not that I have a problem. It's
I went just a couple of weeks ago, and I was I know.
Okay, there you go.
I still had the rest of my day, so I didn't.
Now you can sit in the rocking chair and drink your hard lemonade. So, so future news. Will we have a new speaker this week, or will Kevin McCarthy be the same?
He'll be the same, dude. Gates has been saying that for a while.
I think Kevin McCarthy. I think McCarthy will do anything he needs to do to keep that seat, including paying off the Democrats. I mean, with political agreements. So will Gates stay in office? There's a move to oust him.
Oh, God, no, please. Gates needs to stay in office.
He would need two-thirds to get ousted, and...
Who's going
to
oust him?
Well, if you get enough Republicans under threat from the Speaker, plus enough Democrats go with it... No, I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
Let's see. I can't even read my whole writing. Oh, well. Okay.
They serve liquor at Cracker Barrel.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.